You're listening to the J. John Podcast. Joining J. John this week is Amy Boucher-Pye. Amy is an inspiring author, speaker, and spiritual director. And together with J. John, she discusses her journey of faith and helpful ways that each of us can embrace friendship with Jesus. As ever, if you want to find out more about the Christian faith, visit jjohn.com or follow J. John on social media. And you can catch up with previous episodes on the J. John Podcast. You're listening to J. John in conversation with Amy Boucher-Pye.
Amy, welcome to Facing the Canon.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
In fact, we met several decades ago.
I know. Don't remind me. No, it was wonderful to meet you then. Way back when I was an editor and you were a wonderful author, which you still are.
Well, it's great to reconnect. Mm-hmm. Now, it's all about you, this program.
Okay.
You grew up in America. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Minnesota, which borders Canada. It's right in the middle of the country.
Now, I like the story that your neighbors invited you to go to some kind of church camp.
Yes.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, I was really young, 3 or 4 probably. It was a Baptist church camp, yes. And it was amazing because that's where I received Jesus.
But isn't that amazing, Amy, and a great reminder for all of us not to be afraid to invite our neighbors?
That's right, yes. And I must also stress that I was raised in a Christian home.
Yes.
But yes, it was that experience of being invited to give my heart to Jesus. And as a young child, I did, and he's never left me.
You met your British husband,
yes,
in America.
That's right.
At a book club.
Yes, I did. Yes, it was a Saturday night, and I was a bit cross because that was date night. And I went in, and we had read this book that I was also cross about because it was fiction, but it was philosophy, you know, under the guise of fiction. And I'm like, oh. And so I walked in, and there was this English guy across the way, and I was trying to make conversation with him. And he kept saying, I'm an ordinand in the Church of England, which was, you know, foreign language to me, an ordinand. I don't know what that is. But less than a year later, we were married.
And
I was living in the UK.
Yes. Which was a bit of a surprise.
It was. It was. The deal was the deal. The human deal was 5 to 7 years here while Nicholas did his curacy. And then we would move back to the land of wide highways and wonderful plumbing and, yes. But now, here I am 25 years later.
So. You wrote this book, Finding Myself in Britain.
Yes.
Right. I have to say, I dipped into this and some of your stories about adjusting, Amy. So, and this won an award.
It did.
And
yes.
It was your first book.
It was my first book. It won an award. And you might see it as a film in the next couple of years.
God willing.
God willing, yes.
Okay, so the essence of what you were trying to capture here, essentially, how would you articulate it?
Well, it's a through-the-year look at life in the UK from an American's point of view, but really it's about finding my identity in Christ, finding my identity as a mother, as a wife, as an American in this strange foreign land where I know that it's not a parking lot, but I can't quite get car park and all the foibles that I made, and with God being there all the way, leading me through.
I know. And that's the amazing thing, isn't it, about God, our good shepherd.
Yes.
You know, there's that old analogy about the tapestry. When you look at the back, it just looks ridiculous.
Yes. And yes, but he's with us.
He's with us. And you look back and you think, the Lord did guide.
He did. He did. I'm ever so grateful.
Absolutely. Well, if you want a good read and a good laugh, I really do recommend
this.
Thank you. You then went on and you kept writing. And
yes.
You've wrote this book, 7 Ways to Pray. What prompted you to write this?
Well, I did a master's in Christian spirituality, and that really pushed me. It was really hard. But I came in contact with all of these amazing Christians from ages past, like Teresa of Avila. She's one of my mates. You know, she's probably one of your mates, too.
Absolutely.
And so what I try to do in this book is to help people to encounter God through prayer. And so these are seven, not the only way to pray, but seven different ways to pray. And I hope that I've written it in a way that makes it accessible. And there's tons of prayer exercises in there. So it's probably 60, 70% actual prayer exercises to get you encountering God. That is my passion and my prayer.
Amy, why do we find it so difficult to pray?
Well, I think we think that there's a right way. But when you think about God as a parent, a loving parent who is running towards you the moment that you turn toward him, then do we care if our child falls when they come to us? No, we run toward them and we pick them up. So these are not the only ways to pray, but I hope that they empower people to have a go, to try a different way, to lament, to pray with the Bible. That is, the first two chapters are on praying with the Bible, because that's our authority, isn't it? That's our guide.
How do we respond if we're praying, but we feel like God isn't listening to us?
Well, that's where we educate our emotions, and we pray with the Psalms. And so we pray with those who've prayed before us. My husband is happy for me to share this, but he's had different times of not sensing God's presence, not hearing the Lord's voice. And that's when he prays the Psalms, because he doesn't have the words. And that's where I think we just trust that we know the promises of the Bible are true. We look back to the times when God has been faithful, and we just keep moving, trying, and knowing that God is rushing towards us, even if we don't feel it.
If you could just give us some clarification on this issue, which is, when you pray and ask for something, should we accept that we've asked once, or do we keep on asking?
Oh boy, how would you answer that? That's a tough one, isn't it? Well, I go back to the relationship of the parent, the friend. How are we seeing God? Do we get annoyed with our friends or our kids who keep asking us? Or do we maybe relent? I mean, you know, we look at the persistent widow. She kept asking, and Jesus said she would be answered. So I think it goes back to the person. I've had times in my life where I did the prayer of relinquishment. So I said, Lord, I've asked you and I've asked you. I'm now as a point of faith that I trust you. I'm giving this over and I'm not going to ask again. But there are other areas in my life even now that I'm still praying. And I'm, you know, I say this quote so many times, Lord Tennyson, more things are wrought through prayer than the world could dream of. One that you know too, I can
Absolutely.
Tell.
Absolutely.
So, is there a wrong answer? I don't know that there is. I would love to hear your take on this.
Yes. Well, I personally believe, I like the word push, P-U-S-H, okay. Pray until something happens.
I love that too.
And I think the thing about persistent, patient prayer, it's not so much that we're reminding God. Mm.
Yes.
But we're reminding ourselves.
Yes. Educating our emotions. Yes.
Now, as well as being a writer, as well as being a speaker, you're a spiritual director.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's an old-fashioned term. So previously it would be somebody who would say, you know, do your Our Fathers and act this way. But now it's something where I accompany people on their spiritual journey. I meet with them once every 4, 6, 8 weeks. And I notice with them where God is at work in their life and how they're responding to God. It's a very gentle time of prayer, of openness, and it's a huge privilege, and I love it.
For yourself, what's your rhythm, daily rhythm, when it comes to, say, prayer or the Christian disciplines?
Yes. Well, chapter one, praying with the Bible, really comes out of my personal practice. So what I like to do is I like to take a chunk of scripture each day, and I usually put it into a prose poem, or I rewrite it as a prayer. And those are just ways for me to slow myself down. Because
so can you give us an example? Because, like, for example, Psalm 23, how would you pray that?
Well, that one is in Transforming Love because I pray that one a lot. It depends on what's going on in my life. Today would be the Lord is my interviewer. I shall not want. I shall not be afraid, even though the critics are, you know. So if we personalize Psalm 23, it shows us what is our view of God. So I've made it the Lord is my publisher, the Lord is my reviewer, the Lord is my teacher, the Lord is my friend. There's so many ways to personalize it to say, how am I seeing God? How is God seeing me? So we put ourselves into the scripture.
And you have a set daily routine?
Yes, yes.
How does that work for you?
Well, I hope it's every day. Sometimes it's every other day with Jesus. But so I love to take the scripture and I work through a book. And then I turn this chunk of scripture into like a prose poem, just taking out the words and pondering it and then praying it back to God. And then it just turns into my own prayers. And then I have a time of listening to God. And that's why I have a chapter on hearing God. I don't always get it right, but it's better to hear some than not to hear. And to use your wisdom and discernment. God has given us discernment. So we test out what we hear. We talk to mature Christians. We see, does it jive with the Bible? It has to be in line with the Bible.
Amy, how do we discern when there's so many noises today? So how can we discern whether something's from God, something's from us, or it could be from someone else, or it could be from the evil one?
Right.
How do you discern that?
Well, I think you hold it, don't you? You don't immediately push forward. You hold it before God. Ask God, give me clarity. Did I hear this from you? And then all those things, you know, you have hopefully a close group of people where you're very vulnerable with them. They're trusted people. They're strong Christians. You talk through what this is. And they will have that objectivity, hopefully, that we don't have. So, you know, if the Lord says to me, I think, oh, Amy, you're going to be a million-selling author, probably that's not the Lord, you know. And the friend would come in and say, I think maybe God is calling to you a time of hiddenness, you know, so you can embrace humility. So it's testing against our common sense, against the Bible, with trusted friends. And then knowing that God is our parent who loves us and who wants to lead us and is happy to keep giving us messages.
Absolutely. Now, your new book, Amy, is Transforming Love.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Well, the subtitle is How Friendship with Jesus Changes Us. So it's all about how an intimate relationship with Jesus, as seen through Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, comes forward, and how the risen Christ is alive and well today and wants to be friends with us.
I love that story of Lazarus.
I know you do. I'm so excited.
I love it and have preached it many times.
Yes.
What is it that you liked about that story?
Well, there are three stories in the Gospels. We've got the Luke story and then the stories in John 10 and John 11. And I feel like so much of the current church has just turned Mary and Martha into these types. Are you a Mary? Are you a Martha? But Mary had this crisis of faith when her brother died. She throws herself at Jesus' feet. And in the original language, there is just this despair in her crying. And so, you know, are you a Mary? Well, no, I haven't lost my faith today. Are you a Martha? Yes, she was working in the kitchen, but Martha is one of the three people pre-resurrection to say, Jesus, you are the Messiah. So yes, I'm a Martha. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And Lazarus, I love that you've preached on Lazarus because he had the biggest thing happen to him. He was dead and he obeyed the voice of Jesus and came out of that grave and he lived and then he had to die again.
I know, yes. He had to go through all over again.
I know. So they're amazing women and a man. And the way that their deep friendship with Jesus changed them and changed others. I mean, their home in Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and it was the place where Jesus went to let his hair down, to relax. What an amazing friendship. And he wants that with us.
And we have in that story, we have the shortest verse, don't
we? Yes, Jesus wept.
Jesus wept.
Yes.
So he was deeply moved.
He was. And he was God and man, so he knew he had the authority over death. But he was so fully human that he wept. And that verse has this sense in the original language, and I don't know the original language. This is all from Bible commentators. But this sense of anger, it's almost like a war horse rearing up against this this horror of death. And so some of the commentators wonder, is he also angry against the death that's going to send him to the cross? You know, the religious leaders were really moving against him, so he nails his colors to the mast by raising Lazarus, and boom, it starts his walk to the cross, which he accepted for us.
In the story, we read how Jesus is told, if you had been here earlier, you know, he wouldn't have died. Yes. And one of the great things about that story is Jesus's sense of timing.
Yes.
And he's not in a hurry, is he? But we're always in a hurry.
Yes.
And we always have that sense of disappointment. Oh, if this had happened, then this other thing wouldn't have happened.
Right.
But Jesus is a man of peace.
He is. And he has that objectivity. I've heard, isn't there a saying something like, God is never in a hurry and never late? Sorry, I'm kind
That's
of
mangled. Right.
I'm it's, mangling
no,
it.
No, but
does
it's
it
something
go?
Like
it's
that,
something
isn't
like
it?
That.
Yes,
yes,
it is.
And so we should trust God, shouldn't we?
So obviously, one of the great things about that story, and you've articulated it so well in your book, Amy, is that Jesus did have friendships.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we think, oh, he had, you know, his 12 disciples. But no, yes, he did. But he also had other friendships. And it's an encouragement to us that we need friendships.
Yes.
Sometimes you're disappointed, though, aren't you?
Yes.
In the friendships that you have. Sometimes the friends that you thought would encourage and support you may do the opposite. How do you deal with disappointment in friendships?
Well, I take it to God because I know I've disappointed friends as well. And so I ask for that divine objectivity. Lord, show me where I've failed in this friendship and give me the grace that I need to extend to this other person and give me the wisdom to show me if this is time to pursue a different friendship. Some of my closest friends are actually those that I meet weekly online. Because we can't always have our heart friends as our geographical friends.
And now you meet with a couple of people who are also writers.
Yes, yes.
And you meet every week.
We do, yep.
Online.
We do. Yes. Tanya Marlowe and Amy Scott Robinson, they're both amazing writers. And Tanya has had ME for decades. So we have done this since way before the pandemic. And we use technology to love each other, to support each other. They both have helped me with my books and I help them with their books. They're my first readers and a huge encouragement. Yes.
So you kind of meet, talk, pray.
Yes, yes. Cry, laugh, of it.
So you have to kind of be intentional when it comes to friendship, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, definitely. That's in the diary. It's non-negotiable. We meet. Yes, you have to set aside time for it. Definitely.
Now, what about if you feel you don't have friends, and you do want friends?
Yes.
What do you do in that situation?
You pray. That's what happened to me when I first moved here over 25 years ago. I was this single professional woman in Washington, D.C. with all these friends and busy, blah, blah, blah. I moved to Epsom. I had my dream. I was married to Nicholas. But I had no friends and I felt bereft and I cried out to God and he gave me three. I asked for one friend. He gave me three. And it was such an encouragement.
And you met these three at church?
Yes, I did. Yes. a Scots woman, an Irish woman, and a South African.
And they all became friends on the journey.
They did, yes, yes. Gorgeous women.
Back to you being a spiritual director.
Yes.
What key questions would you offer to all of us that are tuned into this interview today that we should be considering in our own journey of faith?
Where are you moving towards God, and where are you moving away from God? That's a very Ignatius of Loyola kind of a question. So at the end of the day, as you look back over the day, where was I moving toward God? And where was I moving away from God? What is the movement of my soul? When I was really annoyed with that person who cut in front of me and this came out of my mouth, was I moving toward God or away from God? When I was driving here and I let somebody come in, which I don't normally, this is actually me, I actually let somebody come in and I thought, oh, Lord, did you actually give me grace today to do that? Was that a gift that I was able to give? That's a tiny thing, but life is made up of all these small things, isn't it? And as we chart the course of our day with God, asking Him to show us, where have I been moving towards you, Lord? Where have I been moving away from you? What's brought me joy? Where have I felt like myself? Where have I felt like I've been walking alongside myself? Where have I not, where have I felt irritation, anger, and why? Show me, Lord, help me to repent, and help me to be thankful for how you've been with me.
Two wonderful questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
When Killian and I are driving, Amy, and we're trying to get into the road, and people won't let us go in, I always say, you have just forfeited a blessing.
Yes,
and then
yes.
Someone will let us in and I go, bless you, bless
yes.
you, bless you.
If only they knew
and
a
I
blessing
said, all
from
these,
J-John.
Yes, all these others yes. didn't get a blessing. I
right.
know.
But you could bless them too, though.
But obviously we've got to let people in.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, do unto others what you'd like
yes.
them to do unto you.
That's right.
Two great questions. Then what would you add to that?
Well, I think it's really being open to where God is touching your heart in those moments. I think noticing where God is, what God is bringing to mind is so much of our life, isn't it? Where is my passion? Where is my heart pounding? Do I need to act on that? You know, how am I going to collaborate with God today? How did I collaborate with God today? How exciting that our relationship with Jesus, with the risen Christ, with the Holy Spirit living in us means that He empowers us to share the gospel like you do, to share the gospel through loving people. It's amazing.
You know, I'm reminded that you tune your instruments
yes.
before you play in the orchestra.
Yes.
And there is something about tuning in with God.
Amen.
At the beginning of the day.
And at the end of the day.
And at the end of the day.
And throughout the day.
And then throughout the day.
I love how some people, I have a wonderful Yorkshire friend, and she just says she witters with God. She talks to God throughout the whole day. And that's friendship with Jesus.
I like what King David said, you know, I pray morning, noon, and night.
Yes.
And it's almost like, all right, I've got it scheduled.
Yes, yes.
If my day gets busy, I'll still pray morning, noon, and night.
That's right, yes.
And that's so important and
it's
vital.
Training ourselves, isn't it? So
absolutely.
Every time we put the kettle on, every time we wash our hands, we can practice the presence of Jesus,
yeah.
affirming that Christ lives within and that we have friendship with Him.
And Brother Lawrence, he captured that, didn't he?
He did.
When he was working in the kitchen.
Yes, yes. He wanted to be a monk, but he couldn't read. And so he was a lay brother. And he ended up having all these people come to the kitchen because he had this experiment. I'm going to try to practice the presence of Jesus moment by moment. And he did. And look, we remember him.
We do remember him.
Yes.
Yeah. And he did when he was cleaning, cooking. He just kept practicing
yes.
the presence of God.
That's right.
How do you see the future for yourself, Amy? What's next?
Ooh, well, I love writing, I love speaking, I love leading retreats, and I love doing spiritual directing. So all of those things being with my family, being with Nicholas and our two kids. They're growing up. They're kind of teenage, late teenager, young adult. So I think more time here in the UK. God told me to relinquish the campaign to move back to the States, so I think it'll be here. And just, you know, the joy of the adventure, the joy of the adventure with God, following closely, knowing that he's there ahead of me, behind me, right beside me, and with me.
And he is, isn't he?
He is, yes.
He is, and sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that truth, yes, that he is. And the encouragement of the Old Testament so much is remember. Yes. And we do forget.
We do, which is why we educate ourselves to remember and to build these practices in so that we can enjoy friendship with Jesus.
Absolutely. What do you feel God's putting on your heart to be your next book?
Well, I have one coming out very soon called Holding On to Hope. It's another book with my dad's art. And so it's a devotional. And then I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I've done 6 books in pretty short amount of time. I have some ideas, but I probably should just keep stum because they're so unfiltered right now.
But tell us a little bit more about your dad's art.
Yes, my dad is an amazing artist. He's self-taught. He is an amateur. So we did one compilation together of his art and my writing for Christmas. And now this one is called Holding On to Hope, and it's 40 different readings with his pictures and my reflections on the biblical images. So trees clapping their hands and streams in the desert. And BRF, the publisher, has done this gorgeous job of lovely paper. And I know you love good paper.
Yes.
And my dad's art and the way that they have packaged it. So I'm so excited to have this collaboration with my amazing father.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so special.
Father-daughter.
Yes.
That's really,
yes.
And very, very creative.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And those images are beautiful. I mean, we've sung songs, haven't we?
Yes.
Some of those.
Yes.
Clap their hands.
That's
I
right.
Remember.
The trees clap their hands.
The trees clap their hands. What beautiful, inspiring images they are.
Yes, yes.
Well,
so it's a
Amy,
huge gift.
You're a very gifted writer and
speaker,
and may the Lord continue to bless you in all that you're doing. And thank you for blessing us with so many books that we can help us in our journey of faith.
Well, thank you for having me. And I just think you're an amazing interviewer, and I think you are a gift to all of us. So thank you.
Well, thanks for the encouragement, Amy. Thank you for joining us on Facing the Canon. I really hope that you have enjoyed that. I hope that's encouraged you and inspired you. And can I encourage you to look at some of Amy's books? And they've blessed me, and I know they'll bless you. Thank you for joining us on Facing the Canon.
You've been listening to the J. John Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode of the J. John Podcast, press subscribe to be notified about future episodes. You've been listening to J. John in conversation with Amy Boucher-Pye.